Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Eliza Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Thursday night, my favorite night of the week. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton, and I want you guys to know we are here with the amazing Amanda Hanlon. Hanlon, right?
Yes,
that's why I ask people to call in early so I can cover their last name, because I always mess it up, and I didn't even get to that tonight. We have been talking, y'all, for like 10 minutes. And it's been awesome, mostly because she wanted to talk about me. But Amanda is an emotional freedom mentor. She's an intuitive healer, and she's an author. And that makes me jealous because I haven't gotten my first book yet, but I'm working on that. I've been only working on it for about 30 years. But her book is called Feel Better in 5 Minutes, An Empowering Guide to Gain Control Over Your Emotions. And folks, that is going to be one of our future reviews in the Unique Magazine. Amanda, I think, is amazing because of who she is energetically, but also because she is a last-minute fill-in for me. We had a cancellation due to a family emergency, and Amanda just stepped up and said, hey, I can do that. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you so much. It's so fun to be here. Excited.
You're welcome. And if anybody is listening live on September 2nd and you want to talk with us, our phone number is 516-418-5651. Now, I want to know, what made you write a book called Feel Better in 5 Minutes? And is that even possible?
Well, I know. Yes. In short.
I know it is because...
Absolutely.
I can tell you real quickly, maybe 3 or 4 months into the COVID pandemic and the lockdown, I woke up one day thinking, raggle, fraggle, snaggle, laggle, this is definitely, I don't like today. I'm mad. I'm sad. I'm unhappy. I'm angry. And then I didn't like feeling that way. And I just said, you know what? I can be happy if I want to be. Why should I be sad? Flip the switch, Mary. You know how to do that. And I did. I kind of did a little, like a Snoopy dance, and I changed my energy. But I want to hear from you what your perspective is on that. Why did you need to write this book?
Well, it's interesting because it actually started, I knew that I was going to write a book. I started trying to write one in 2016. I had a bunch of really interesting client cases, and I compiled them all together and wrote them out. And I just couldn't get past that initial phase. I was like, well, what do I add to that? You can't just put a bunch of stories in a book. I mean, you can, but it felt like it was missing something. The actionable steps that I wanted for people to be able to get out of it weren't there yet. So whenever COVID happened, I'm an introvert. So for me, it was kind of like, oh, I don't have to do anything. The obligations are just kind of gone. To be anywhere, do anything. I'm like, this is awesome, which, I mean, you know, for me in that respect, it was. I mean, it was terrible, everything
that
was going on.
Oh, I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so energetically, it was good on one hand, but it was also really tough on the other, because being an empath and being able to feel everything and having people around me that could feel everything. You know, people on my Instagram page and Facebook, they were saying, you know, I feel so scared. I'm so depressed. I'm anxious. I'm stressed. You know, I can't see anyone. I don't have that contact, and I'm really, really struggling. And so I thought, well, what could I do to help people, you know, with this? And initially I was like, well, I'll write a little, like, you know, little guide and put it on my website, you know, so that people can have a little something. And it was called An Empath's Guide, Take Back Your Power. And it's still on the website. You can get it there. But I started writing it, and then I went, oh, but I want to add this, and I want to add this. And, you know, Canva only lets you put so much in one of those guides. So I was like, oh, I have to write a book. This has to be a book. And so I started putting the pieces together. And, you know, I thought, oh, this will take me 3 months. And it took me about a year to fully complete the book. So, and it morphed into this really amazing guide with no fluff. It's just every chapter is packed with ways to release your emotions. But instead of coming from a psychological place completely, it says, okay, you know, talk therapy is great and you can get a lot done in that. But there's some people that really it only goes so far for. And starting in a different place completely, which is your energy system, and working from there, actually, if you use that as an adjunct to talk therapy, or, I mean, you can use it in place of if you want, but it really is helpful. It can really transform people's lives if they can go at it from a different angle. So that's why I wrote the book, really to help people during the pandemic. And now it's coming out next week.
That's awesome. That is really, you know, I could relate to you when you were talking about how the pandemic was kind of good for you. And also about being an empath and taking on everybody else's feelings and pain and anxiousness and fears. There are times you have to just take a step back and look at your situation differently and think, is this how I want to be feeling right now?
Right, exactly. Exactly. And being able to identify that and discern between your emotions and someone else's, because empaths by nature tend to have weak boundaries overall in their lives. That's one of their life lessons for being here. And so the lines get blurred, you know, and you may have anxiousness, and you do. If you're feeling anxiousness from other people, it's something you're carrying. That's just how it works, because like attracts like, you know, energetically, and
yeah,
it aggravates your anxiousness. So if you're picking up other people's, it's what I tell people is, they're like, oh, I'm an empath and it's so hard and this and that. And I'm like, okay, let's look at it a different way. Let's just flip it on its head and say, be grateful that now you're aware you have this anxiety, and you can choose to shift that and use it to empower yourself versus viewing it as being a victim of it. And so it really helps people to go, okay, I'm feeling this. Okay, I know what to do. And that's what the book is for. It's to give them something actionable so that they don't have to feel like they're a victim of their life and they can't shift those emotional states when they feel stuck in them.
Makes sense. That really makes sense, because it's all about perspective. You know, if I'm sitting at my desk behind my monitor, I can only see what's above the monitor. But if I stand up, I can see a little different view. If I get up onto the table that my monitor's sitting on, I can see a whole lot of other things. Probably as the table comes crashing down to the floor, but that's a whole nother story. I can look out my window and I can see what's outside. But if I go outside and walk, I'm seeing what's outside from the perspective of actually being out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that way with our emotions too. We We're so focused sometimes on how I'm feeling right at this moment. I feel angry or hurt or anxious. But if we can find a way to step outside of our personal space a little bit and look at it from a different perspective and figure out why this is causing us so much discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard lesson. It's been one I've been working on for years, and it's not easy. But you mentioned boundaries a minute ago.
Right.
How do boundaries play into our emotional freedom?
That's a really good question. So boundaries are something that, you know, when I'm looking at, I like to talk about everything from an energetic perspective, but just a really grounded place as well. And so when I'm looking at someone's energy system, as far as what kind of boundaries they have energetically, what I normally see in general, there's two types of energetic structure. And one is, if you're an empath, if you are extremely sensitive to energies and, you know, probably a little bit psychic or highly intuitive, that kind of thing, you tend to have a really weak and permeable outer shell, I say. And shell is kind of that's a little bit of a misnomer, but like it's more penetrable. Your aura and your field is much more penetrable by energies that are around you. But the cool thing about people that have this setup is inside, their core is extremely strong, but they don't realize it because the outside world is always kind of coming in on them. But because it is, they have to have a strong core. So if they can learn to let go of the things that are holding them back and strengthen their outer boundaries by releasing trauma, because most, I would say, probably 100% of empaths actually have had a good deal of trauma in their lives. You know, that's their soul path. That's just kind of part of the package that comes with that type of experience. If they can start to let go of those traumas and those energetic patterns that are causing the boundaries to be weak on the outside, that energy can really start to stabilize. And once that stabilizes, because they have such a strong inner core, the balance that comes in and the power that they recognize in themselves is just tremendous. So it's really amazing to see an empath go through that transformation and that change of releasing all of those traumas and energies. Now, the other type of energy that I see that is actually people that have a tougher time is if they have a very hard outer shell. We all know these people, you know, they're very strong personalities, they're type A, they're just absolute my way, the highway kind of thing. They may tend to anger quickly, that kind of stuff. They've got a really hard outer shell. So we're like, wow, they're such a strong person. Look at them. I'm so weak. They're so strong, you know, empath versus, you know, outer shell person. But the kicker
is the opposite of an empath?
You know, that's a good question.
I don't
really have a word for it. Someone that you know, people that have hard outer shells, I mean, just energetically are, you know, they don't tend to feel. What's happening is because they've had trauma, they reacted the opposite of the impact.
I pushed
everything out and put walls up. Yeah, but their inner core is very weak. So
right.
You know, they have a tougher challenge because they have to deconstruct and let go of the trauma that has created those walls and that outer shell while the inside is really loose and like a jello structure, right? So they have the challenge of actually strengthening that inner structure while they are deconstructing their outer shell. And so that's very scary, and it's harder to do, actually, for people that have that hard outer structure, because then they start to feel, and that scares them. So
exactly. That's that. I think that's feeling, for someone who's been protecting their feelings so strongly, then all of a sudden to feel it so keenly, it's terrifying.
It is.
Because now they don't know what to do with that. Yeah.
Exactly. And because they don't have the inner core structure that is strong for them to be able to bounce that off of it and say, okay, I'm feeling this and this is how I'm going to deal with it. So it's tricky for them, and they really have to have a very compassionate support system, a person, at least one person that can really hold that space for them and allow them to act out on their emotions, because they will act out on their emotions because that's the first time they felt them probably in years. So it requires a lot more work, and it's harder for them. But the empath that views themselves as weak is actually honestly way stronger than that other energetic structure, even though it appears to be completely opposite. So as empaths let go of those traumas, that outer boundary starts to stabilize, and they can start to say no to people. They can start to say, you know what, I'm going to take care of myself here because this is what I need to do. And they realize people aren't going to hate them for that, most people, you know. And if people do, then, well, you know, as they're healing, they realize, wow, that person doesn't have my best interest at heart, and I need to go in a different direction. And that's not easy because they can feel everything, right? They don't lose that ability by clearing the trauma. They actually gain a healthier perspective on life, and they start to be able to accomplish a whole lot more.
Yeah, I find that the word no is such a tiny little word, but it carries a lot of weight, and it's really hard for a lot of people to learn to use it. And Amanda, we have a caller. Let me see who called in.
Great.
Hello there.
Hi.
Who called in? Hi.
I'm sorry, this is the first time I've ever called in, and I was just listening. So.
Oh, okay. Is that all you wanted? Did you have any questions for us?
I do, but I don't know the format of the show, so I wasn't sure.
Well, what is your name?
Listening.
Just tell
my
your
name is Sandra,
please.
And I'm calling from Sandra. I'm sorry, my name is Sandra, and I'm calling from Georgia.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the show. Did you have a question about emotional freedom or boundaries or anything like that?
Actually, I do. I'm recently out of a 5-year on-again, off-again relationship with my girlfriend. And
uh-huh.
I think this time, I think it is, I'm ready to move forward with my healing and releasing some of the negative energy, and just feeling like I'm in a good place. But how do you see life for me with this? There's still much love there, but just releasing and knowing I need to move on.
That ties right in with what we were just talking about.
It does. So I can do a little read for you if you would like. That's what I do.
Okay.
Is that okay, Mary? Is that okay, Mary?
Absolutely. It's perfect.
Okay, great. I just want to make
Thank you.
we're in bounds here.
Scripted, sweetheart. There are no boundaries.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Sandra
from
Georgia.
What is your name again? I'm sorry.
Sandra.
Okay. Okay. Nice to meet you, Sandra. Hello.
Nice to meet you. Hi.
So it feels like you do have a lot of love there. And while that is the case, also there's a lot of imbalance in the relationship.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you are the giver in the relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you give mm-hmm. and you give and you give and you give and you give some more, even when you don't have anything. If you're
mm-hmm.
laying on the floor, you're still giving, right?
Yes.
And the person you're with is very wounded and
yes.
sweet at, you know, not, I, and I don't mean that to say she's not a good person and all of that, but at the same time, it's really the the way she goes about kind of dealing with you and what you want to do in your life and your visions and your dreams and all of this, it's like she always kind of says, well, you know, this is the reality. Well, you know, let's be practical about this. Well, you know this, and you're going, but I want to be more. I want to be bigger. I know that I need to do more in my life, right? And so you keep going back to, well, yeah. And so what happens is when your energy starts to unfurl, it's like you have these giant angel wings, and you've got them all curled in really close to your body, and something happens that inspires you, and you start to unfurl them, right? And she's like, it freaks her out. She's like, whoa. Right?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't know how to deal with all of who you are, and it scares her, and so she keeps kind of putting you in a box. And she's not doing that to try to harm you or anything like that, but it's gotten to a point where you're like, I have to be who I am, and I'm not 100% sure who I am yet, but I know that I'm more than this relationship.
Right.
So it's just at a time where it is the right, you know, I'm getting, you know, what I'm hearing is it is the right time for you to let it go. And, you know, you wish her well, absolutely. And you wish her no harm. And, you know, you love her and you care about her as a person that, you know, you'll always think fondly of. But at the same time, you've got to move on and do something else. It feels like you may have a move coming in your future. I don't know if you've been offered a job somewhere else, or so you got like a position offered to you or something that you are considering, and you're like, oh, I really want to do this, but I have to let this relationship go. It's kind of like the universe is like, okay, knock, 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 you're at a crossroads. What are you going to do? Right? And so, and you want to open that door, but you're like, I don't know what's behind this door, but your soul is like, hey, gotta do it. You know?
Is it the tiger or is it the lady?
Exactly.
You remember the story about the tiger and the lady behind the door?
Wow.
I don't. Maybe she does.
That's because you're still a baby.
it's so funny you say that, because I did move out, and I was supposed to, well, the rental space where I'm moving to, it was supposed to have been ready the 1st of August, but it got delayed. And then I was supposed to move today, or sign the lease today, or do a walkthrough. But all the new stuff that they're doing to the house, the appliances, the floors, the counter was not ready. So I moved next week, so next Friday. Mm. So that's the move that you're feeling. So, yeah, I'm already in the process, and I'm so excited about this move.
Oh, that's so good. Well, it's, you know, your soul is feeling it, you know, because you kept compressing yourself, and now that you're allowing yourself to expand, you're just like, oh, I didn't know I could feel this good, right?
Yes.
So it's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to go on a journey, and I don't know if that's a figurative journey or it's an actual journey within yourself, and rediscovering things that you like, that you've given up, that you don't even realize you've given up. I mean, there's probably so many things that you used to do, you know, that you don't do anymore, and start doing those things. I don't care how small they are. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, if you used
to always
get pizza on Tuesdays, get pizza on Tuesdays, sit in front of the TV in your pajamas, whatever you want to do, doesn't matter, you know? So do those things, you know, start with that, because that's rediscovering yourself. I was in a tough relationship for a very long time. And the first thing I did was I downloaded some music that I liked. And I was like, wow, this is the most liberating thing ever, ever. Like, it was so awesome. I was like, Kelly Clarkson,
here we go. Such a small gesture. You know, that your music is such a small thing, but it creates such a big benefit. And I love that Sandra got that, because, you know, you're yourself.
Yeah.
You can be who you are.
I said, when I moved in with her, when we lived together, her brother lived there, who I do adore. But it was just a little awkward. So I said, the one thing, right now I'm staying with my son, my daughter-in-law, until my place is available, ready next week. But I said, the one thing that I'm definitely wanting to do, and so hopefully I don't get you guys banned off this, but I want to walk around in a tank top and my panties throughout my whole house, just by myself.
Heck yes! Do it, sister.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it. Do
I'm
it.
So yes. waiting for that. Something that simple. So, yeah, I do understand. Just, I'm looking
awesome.
Forward to
I mean,
that
the,
moment.
Kendra,
oh my gosh,
I
the freedom
feel like
of that.
You're going, I think that it, to me it feels that once Sandra gets where she's going in a week or two, y'all better just chill out because she's going to take over. And
that's
you've
right.
got things to do. You have so many things
yeah.
to do that are going to amaze the world.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you.
You have a lot
Thank
of gifts that you have been, you've been keeping in a box. You're going to get those out and you're going to
yeah.
show them what you got.
Wow. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That's,
you're welcome.
That's really
I really
cool.
wish you well in your new life. I'm super excited for you. That's so awesome.
Great.
I'm going to take a quick break here, ladies.
Sure.
I need to play a little commercial. And when we come back, I do want to talk with you, Amanda, a little bit about the spiritual gifts that could be mistaken for mental illness. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Mm.
All right.
Good.
Be Unique works to change the world for a better tomorrow, using digital mediums to connect the dots of the world through professional storytelling. We have all embracing, all-inclusive heart and are always learning to create new things to revitalize and sustain old things. While recognizing our differences, we use positive and universal thinking to strategize for a positive outcome. We collaborate people of all distinctions to create a better me, a better you, a better us. By caring for others, there's no room in our hearts for hatred, racism, or egoism. So, let our visions heal and keep the promises of what we will be one day by living helpful, caring, and happy, healthy, and essential lives. With the wonderful staff and volunteers at Be Unique, we will continue to pursue that dream by making the world a better place for everyone. From everyone at BeUnique.org, to our readers and listeners, thank you for all your support. There's so much more on the way.
And we're back. I'm here with Amanda Hainline, an emotional freedom mentor, intuitive healer, and author of a book that's coming out next week, Feel Better in 5 Minutes, an empowering guide to gain control over your emotions. And before I forget, I want to tell everybody who's listening that you can learn more about Amanda at AmandaHainline.com. And her last name is H-A-I-N-L-I-N-E. We did have Sandra on the show, but she dropped out. Sometimes that just happens. But if anybody wants to call in and if Sandra wants to rejoin us, the number is 516-418-5651. Before our little commercial break, I told Amanda that I wanted to talk with her a little bit more about spiritual gifts that might be mistaken for mental illnesses. And this, I think, is probably something that's maybe not unique to young people, but it does seem to be more prevalent, don't you think?
I agree. Yeah, that's definitely true. Definitely true. I have several clients in that boat. So, yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. It always makes me so sad when I see it.
Give them another pill.
Yeah, I had kind of an amazing story about that. But I guess before I get into that, I say yes. I experienced a spontaneous Kundalini awakening, and that's how I got my gifts. It wasn't something I was looking for. I was depressed, and I was trying to feel better because I was in a tough marriage. I had two little kids. It was just hard. I mean, things were not like I wanted them to be in my life. And I was really struggling. And I was like, I don't want to do medications, you know. So my mom goes through that and how tough it was on her. And I was like, there's no way. I'm not, I just can't do it for me. And so I went to an energy healer. And on the second session, after the first session, I felt great. I felt like, wow, this could alleviate my depression. Like, there's something here for me. And the second session, all of my chakras opened at once. And I didn't even know what a chakra was at the time. And, you know, I really, really struggled. I started hearing voices. I started seeing things. I would have invisible things attacking me in my sleep. I would wake up with things choking me that I couldn't see.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible. It was extremely scary. I didn't know what was happening. No one could explain what was happening to me. And on top of that, I had all the traumas from my childhood and then past lives coming up as well. And so I was having to process all this stuff in the middle of a house remodel that I was supposed to be spearheading. So with two little kids, 2.5 and 5. And so it was, I mean, it was honestly hell. It was really, really scary. And I thought, I'm going to have to be committed somewhere. I don't know how to deal with this. And I just kept going back to healers. And that was the only thing that kept me hanging on. And I'm looking online and I can't find anything to help me. You know, everything's just either, you know, you're crazy or I get on some spiritual website and it's like, I have no idea what they're talking about. Like, what are they even saying? It was probably 6 or 7 years later that I ran across the term spontaneous Kundalini awakening. And I read the description. I went, oh my gosh, that's what happened to me. I didn't know for years what it was. And, most people, I guess, that have this happen, especially in the U.S. or, you know, unless you're in India and people know what has happened to you and what's going on, they end up in mental institutions because they don't have any way to deal with this stuff. It's very, very difficult because the reality around you is the same, but it's also completely shattered inside of you. And so it's a very difficult place to be in when you feel like you're going crazy. And I have been there, and I know how hard that is. So I do feel like there's a lot of people that have gifts that get mistaken as mental illness. I've seen it in my clients, you know, that have been, you know, they're like, oh, I think I have schizophrenia. And I'm like, I get talking to them, and I'm like, there's a big difference between, you know, that the what's in my experience. You know, I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but in my experience, what's missing in the case of schizophrenia is like they are having these experiences and they are hearing things and they are seeing things and they're having those spiritual experiences and they're very open and empathic and intuitive and all of that. But the discernment is missing. There's other elements in them that they can't discern the reality that's around them from what they're experiencing. As far as the 3D world, it's completely blurred and they just can't get back to that place. And, you know, I mean, if you have schizophrenia, it's a different deal. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all of that, but necessarily it's one of those things that it's sad and it's heartbreaking that so many people end up, being just, you know, oh, you're crazy or there's really something wrong with you and medicate them. They either medicate themselves or they go and they get medicated and it doesn't help because they're not understanding what's really going on. So it's tough. I had a client that came to me. It was actually a niece of a client of mine and she came in and she was 9 years old. She did not say a word to me, would not look at me. And she came in with her mother and her aunt, who I was friends with, and her grandmother. And they said, she's hearing voices. And the grandmother, I wish she just wouldn't have talked. Because she started going, well, you know, we think she has schizophrenia. I'm like, she's 9. I was like, you need to just not go there with her. And she started talking about her brother, and she said, you know, my brother's been in a mental institution for years. He went in when he was 19, and now he's 54. And it happened after he started hearing voices after his grandmother died, and he's been in there ever since. And I just, my heart just broke. I went, he had an awakening when his grandmother died, actually opened his abilities, and that's a very common thing that happens with people.
Yes.
And he didn't understand it. Nobody understood it around him. So, like, well, we're just going to throw him in there because he's crazy and we're going to medicate him. And he had been in there, you know, since he was 19 years old and he's 54. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. And I was like, this cannot happen to this little girl. So I started talking to her, and she was not talking to me, and her mom was talking to me. And I said, what's going on? You know, and she's like, well, she's hearing this voice, this man screaming at her, telling her to clean her room and clean the house and do this and do that. And she cries all the time. And she's like, he just keeps yelling at me. And so this is getting outside a little bit into the woo-woo more than I was thinking we were going to go, but it's just such a cool story.
Oh, go there, baby. Go there.
Here we go.
I'm all about it.
So what happened was I started working with her, and I said, well, how long has this been going on? And I thought she was going to say like 2 weeks. Since she was five. It had been going on for 4 years. That this child had been having this experience. They said, she's not the same kid as she was. Like, she's completely, like, her self-esteem is destroyed. Her, like, she hardly talks. Like, she struggles in school. Like, I mean, can you imagine? You hear somebody screaming at you all the time.
Yeah.
So I got in there, and I started looking at it, and I tapped into her energy. And I was telling her, like, we can help this person leave you alone. You know, I was speaking very pragmatically but very simply to her and telling her these things. And she's just kind of staring at me. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to tap into your energy now, and I'm going to talk to him and see why he's there and what's going on. And so I tapped into her energy, and I saw a door. And so I went to open the door, and she opened the door, and she said, you can't come in. And he was standing behind her, and she slammed the door in my face.
Wow.
And I looked at her mom, and I said, she won't let me in. And she just looked at me, her eyes got really big. And I said, I'm not going to hurt him. Okay. I'm not going to hurt him. I said, I am not here to hurt this person, because she had become attached. I mean, because he was there all the time, and it had become part of her identity. So she was really scared. Well, what does that look like when I let that go? So I said, you know, and I tried again. I said, I'm going to try. I said, will you let me in this time? And she just kind of shook her head real slow. I said, okay. So I tried again, and she opened the door, and the man started screaming at me, cussing and all of this. And I said, well, you know, I said, well, you know, why are you here? And then what happens is I'll start seeing like the story and feeling the story and sensing mm-hmm. kind of what went on and all of that. And what had happened was he had been in the Vietnam War, and he had come back, and he lost his family. He lost everything. He became an addict over there, which many people did, just with all the trauma and everything, got into drugs, was an alcoholic, and he ended up killing himself. And after he died, he didn't move on, but when he found her, it was like, oh, you know, you are my daughter. Like, he had it in his mind that this was his daughter. And it was in a past life, it had been. So energetically and soul memory-wise, this was his daughter. And so he attached to her, and he was like, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. You know, he's trying to be a parent. And so I explained this to her in the best way I could. I said, you know, he used to be your daddy, and this is why he's here, and he's not trying to hurt you. I mean, she just was bawling. She was bawling. I mean, everybody in the room was just like, oh, wow. You know, you could feel it. And she was just crying. And I said, we're not going to hurt him. Not going to hurt him. He needs to heal and move on. And so I did some energy work with him, and I did some energy work with her. And he walked over to me, you know, in that space, that energetic space, and he handed me this purple heart. And he goes, can you give this to her?
Oh, my gosh.
I said, yes, I can. And I took it, and I said, let me see your hand. And I had it, you know, I could see it in my hand, the energy of it. And I put it in her hand. I said, this is for you to hold. This was his most precious item that he had in his life, all he had left, and he wants you to have it. And she just lost it. You know, I lost it. I was like, okay, I have to hold it together here. You know, but she was crying, and I said, he's safe now. And you're safe, and it's going to be okay. And she never heard the voice again.
Oh, wow.
And I called her mom. I think I talked to her mom 6 months later. She said she's still not hearing the voice. I talked to her aunt 2 years later, and she said, my sister says she prays for the man every night. And it was this, you know, the child probably would have ended up medicated.
Of course she would have.
And because it was just that, it's an amazing, it was just an amazing experience.
That's I love that story. And the fact that it happened when she was, what, 5, 4, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's 5, yeah.
My mother told me that I was 4 years old and playing with, I have 7 siblings. So I didn't need to be alone, but apparently I chose to be by myself most of the time. As I got older, I read a lot. But when I was much younger, I would just go outside and play by myself with some people that nobody else could see. And so my mm-hmm. mother had an aunt who, it kind of reminded me of the grandma, you know, well, this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. But my mother's aunt said, you need to put that child in a hospital, and, you know, put her in the state,
wow.
whatever, because she's crazy. And my mother said, she is not crazy. She's talking to angels.
Mm.
I mean, apparently I was just having full-on conversations with them. And I can just imagine, you know, the fact that this child's uncle or great-uncle was institutionalized for at least 50 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's just so sad. And
it is sad.
I know that a lot of people would rather, in fact, I remember the story I was telling you before the show started about how we began Be Unique. Maybe 2 months mm-hmm. prior to that, I was having a conversation with my husband, and I said, I think I need to go find myself a psychiatrist. And he said, what on earth for? I said, because I'm a wreck inside. I can't handle this. I am a wreck. I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm anxious, I can't sleep, I'm not eating. He said, you need to quit that job you've got.
Mm.
I said, and then what? He says, we'll figure it out. I want you to put in your letter of resignation. He said, I've been watching you, and it's been getting worse. So mm-hmm. what was happening, and we talked about this earlier, about being... I think we did. I don't know. I'm so confused right now because I'm feeling this little girl's life all in front of me with this purple heart and everything. But what had happened was he was watching me over the course of a couple of months deteriorating and not knowing what to do. And when I said, I need a psychiatrist because I think I need to go on medication. And he looked at me, he said, not you, because you need to just quit that job. And I said, no, I don't think so. I need, you know, we need the money. He goes, no, we'll figure it out. He said, but you don't even go to a regular doctor. You use alternative medicine. Why in the world would you think you need to go take a pill for something that you don't even know if it's mental or spiritual? I said, okay, I wrote the letter of resignation, and I sat down, and I meditated. And I know that child at 9 probably doesn't know how to meditate, but yet she might know how to meditate. You know, children can mm-hmm. teach us so many amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just get out of their way, I think, as adults, we can learn so much from children. But we have to realize that they can be our teachers.
Mm-hmm. True.
Wow, that was a really powerful story. And I am, That's why I love this show, because we can talk about your book. We can talk about your Kundalini awakening, or we can talk about the really woo-woo stuff. I love it because the show takes us where it wants us to go. I just follow the spirit and let it flap around and see what happens.
Yeah, I love that too. It's fun.
Yeah, it's more real. And I find mm-hmm. that our listeners like it too. Now, I know that you, I guess this is in your daily work, you teach people who are stressed out how to tap into their hidden power source.
Right.
What does that feel like?
Stress comes from a feeling that you don't have control. And it comes from feeling like, there's nothing you can do to regain control. You've got things going on that are outside of yourself that are unpredictable, or seems like there's nothing you can do about them. And helping people, it's kind of twofold. It's one is helping people really shift their perspective on what they've got going on and why it's going on. Because once you understand the why and you understand where the stress is actually coming from, a lot of times we inadvertently create these situations out of our subconscious because, we're dealing with trauma and our soul is trying to process this stuff. It's trying to help us grow. That's why certain things happen in our lives. That's why you had that job, right? Your soul's like, hey, gotta look at this, gotta go to a different direction, it's just percolating all these things. And so helping people understand the why, understand why they're in this situation, how they got there, that it's not really their fault that this is going on. And I think that's a big thing for people because they say, it's my fault. What's wrong with me? There's something wrong with me. Why am I stressed out about this? And that kind of thing. But helping them realize the perspective shift really is helpful, and that often alleviates a lot of stress. And then the second part of it is teaching them how to release the stress through emotional techniques, releasing on an energetic level, really kind of looking at the stress head on and saying, okay, I choose to release the stress and anything that it's attached to. And that's the kicker phrase, because your energy system is strung to get everything in your energy system is a network. And so the stress is coming from inside of you energetically. Everything starts out energetic and trickles it down to the physical. Once something's reached the physical, there's a lot more to unwind. So it starts energetic, then it goes to the emotional level, which is where you're feeling it. That's in my book. I talk about that's middle of the sandwich, right? That's where the juicy stuff is. That's what we notice is inside of a sandwich, right? We don't notice the bread really, unless you're gluten-free and you find a good piece of gluten-free bread.
Because you don't have a bread and peanut butter sandwich. You have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And so that's why I like to use that analogy. Is the sandwich analogy is body, mind, spirit, or body, emotion, spirit. And, the spirit is the core, but we don't go around saying, oh, my root chakra is just really bothering me today. It feels really congested. Most people don't. they'll say, I just feel like I don't have any more to give. And I've just kind of lost my will for life, like my zest for life. I've just lost that. I just don't feel anything. And that's the root chakra's congested, but it's showing up emotionally that way. So if you step backwards and work on the emotional level and start releasing the stress and other emotions that are related to that and everything those are attached to, then you start to unwind that web of stuff that is attached to trauma, it's attached to other experiences, it's attached to energy that's in your past, it's attached to energy you picked up from other people. It's all this stuff. It's like pulling a potato plant out of the ground, right? It's, you pull up that plant, it's like, oh, it's a plant, but you pull it up and it's got all of these nodules on the bottom of it. right?
Yeah.
So that's what that's like. The stress is the plant. You pull it up and it's got all this stuff attached and you're like, wow, I had no idea all that stuff was in there. And you start releasing it. And then the book teaches you, and the book I teach you to go down the rabbit holes and how to do that so that you can start to understand how your traumas are related together and how your emotions are related together so that you can start releasing those. And it empowers you to understand where your stress is coming from, because it's kind of like when you hear a bump in the night and you're like, what is that? Is that someone trying to break into my house? Did a can just explode in the cabinet? Like, what was that noise? You know, and your mind gets going and you think something's wrong. But if you find out that your cat just knocked something over in the living room, that's a completely different thing. You're like, oh, the cat knocked that over. Okay. Then you're good, right? Because you understand what happened or you understand the cause of what's going on. So I find that once people have the ability to start unwinding that and go, okay, I'm having this stress. You know, this is kind of like when I was 10 and this happened. Okay, yeah, that feels connected. And they can start addressing that core energetic trauma, the root energetic issue. Then they can start unwinding that. And once you unwind the root of that, then everything else on that train of energy starts to fade. And so that was a long answer to ask about stress, but that's really the process that I take people through. It's helping them understand how things are related together. It gets into the psychology piece, but it comes at it from an energetic perspective so that they have a new way of approaching it and addressing it for themselves.
Yeah. And I love the potato plant thing. Now, everybody may not know how a potato grows. They might think, hey, you just go down to the store and pick them up. But, you know, every plant has roots. And she's absolutely right. You pull this bush. I mean, it looks like a shrub, a little bush. And you pull it up out of the ground, and there are things attached to it that aren't roots. They're actually edible tubers.
That's right.
When you were talking about the root chakra, I immediately I remember, you know, reading a little bit about your book. You talk about that in your book too, but you also talk about the way colors can influence how we feel, don't you?
Right, I do. Yes.
And for those who most people probably know that every chakra is connected to or associated with a particular color.
Absolutely, it is. And the interesting thing is, as I was going through and writing this book and doing muscle testing and checking in with my guides and channeling, I channeled a lot of the book. And but I always backed it up with research and muscle testing just to kind of make sure that I had the whole view before I wrote something down. And emotions are related to color as well. And certain emotions are found in certain chakras. Certain emotions are found in certain organs. You know, it's a really interesting, intricately woven together thing. And so when you're looking at color, you know, if you're feeling, for instance, you know, talking about the root chakra, we're talking about, you know, if you're depleted in your root chakra color-wise, if you've got a lot of congestion in your root chakra, then your will to live is hindered, your confidence is low, you just kind of don't want to do anything. You just kind of look around and go, who cares, you know, kind of thing. And so getting that chakra cleared out is really important, but also replenishing it with the color that needs to be there. And, you know, the root chakra is red. So replenishing that with the shade of red that the root chakra needs, because if it's severely depleted, you would think, oh, you just want to dump everything into it. But honestly, that's the wrong thing to do, because it's so weak in its state and it's congested. So you need to add a little bit of color at a time. It's kind of like if you have really dry ground and you dump a gallon of water on it, what happens? It runs off all over the place.
It just runs right off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happens. And it can actually, you know, it'll chip up the ground and kind of, it's not pretty after that. So you want to add things slowly back into it so it can metabolize the color and start to come back to life. But it takes some time for that to happen whenever you're dealing with color. But emotions are very related to color. And I go into the book about wearing color. You know, if you're struggling with confidence and you have a big meeting that day, it's like wearing something red can be really powerful. And it doesn't have to be a lot of red. And if red doesn't look good on you, you can wear it on your underwear, or you can
wear
it in an accessory or something, you know, just having something, or even putting a red stone in your pocket that speaks to you, you know, like a bloodstone or something like that is really helpful. And you can just take in that color, and that will help to bolster that part of your energy system so that you can gain more confidence. So color is very powerful, and there's a whole chapter in the book about it. So it's a really fun chapter. I enjoyed writing that one.
That's really cool. I'm all about color, and what you're saying makes so much sense why I change my hair color sometimes. And right now it's kind of a pastel lilac, but I'm ready to pop it up because I'm feeling the blues coming out. I need to get up into my head a little bit more.
I see indigo for you. I see indigo for you, like a really intense blue, but like a little bit of purple. So it's that really.
Yes, that was the color I had a month ago. It was so interesting. I had just dyed it, and I mixed the purple and blue together, and it was just this brilliant royal indigo. And for the last month, I've been dealing with what I call the Tarkalian flu, which is just my way of not actually saying I have COVID, but I don't anymore. It's gone. But I did have COVID, and Tarkalian flu just sounds so much more exotic. It's something that they have to start with. But
Exactly.
Now that I'm feeling well again, and you know, I had mentioned way earlier that there were some good things about COVID. I will tell you, my getting COVID was one of the best things that happened to me. It forced me to slow down and actually stop for a while. It was a very mild case. I did not suffer a lot. I slept a lot, but I did not suffer much. But I got a lot of meditating time in. And there were some moments that I heard my own voices in my little old head, and I came to some conclusions that are going to help me with life, because I've been resisting a lot of things about getting older. And now I realize it's actually okay. I don't have to fight this aging thing anymore. And now that I've hit that point in my life, I'm like, okay, go back to that royal indigo color. And that's really cool that you picked up that was the color for me.
Yes, it is. Well, it feels like you have a lot of new energy coming in. You've got a lot of new projects that are coming your way.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, and I could tell you what I'm seeing, but I don't want to give anything away just in case you're keeping stuff under wraps.
No, talk to me, sister. Give me what you feel.
The term is big players. It's like there's big players coming. It's time for the big players to come in for you. What that means exactly, I don't know, but it feels like people with a lot of influence, a lot of clout, a lot of ability to look at what you're doing and go, we want to help you blow up. Like, we want to help you in a big way. And you're going to be able to do that in a way that feels synergistic, which is a really big deal, because I think there's been times that has been a struggle for you in what you're doing and keeping to your truth and really holding your boundaries and holding your own. I'm going through that right now a little bit with stuff I'm doing in my project. So I can totally relate. And you really are becoming clearer and clearer and clearer about your mission and what you're doing. And as that becomes clearer, this new energy can come in to really fill that space and support you in the direction you want to go. So that feels like what's coming for you. It's just really big things, really big things.
Oh,
you may be
it.
Making a big shift that you don't expect, but just stay open to it. Someone may say, you're going to do this. And you're like, absolutely not. You know, and somebody else is like, that's a great idea. You're like, no way. You know, and then the more you meditate on it, the more you set on it, your guides are going to be tapping you going, yes, this is, it's going to feel like something that you've always viewed as more capitalistic than you want to do. You know, there's always been a sad taste in your mouth about it, whatever it is.
Yep.
But
yep.
The more you think about it, you're like, I can bring my own experience and perspective and energy to this and really make it something incredible and unique that no one else has thought of and no one else has shared, because I have these other experiences that make it so much more than what everyone views it as. And that seems very vague to say, but it's just, that's what I'm seeing. It's just a very, you're going to have the opportunity to do something really cool. So it'll be interesting to see what that is for you.
I am not going to argue with that, because it's something I've been feeling I'm on the verge of, and I'm not even sure what it is, but I think I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird.
You do. It's like slightly different. It's like 10% different than what you're thinking, but it's pretty much spot on. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can't argue with that. But what I can argue with is the clock that's telling me our time is up.
All right.
I don't really want you to go. I knew the minute that I, before I read your bio, I saw the photo of you on the road or outdoors under the tree. I said, I'm going to love this person. And I knew that I was going to love talking with you. I saw so much love and light in that one photo. All your pictures were amazing. You have an adorable smile.
Thank you.
I love people who aren't afraid to show their teeth. People who laugh from their toes to their, you know, to their crown. And you do. I, as soon as I saw those pictures, I'm like, I'm going to love her. And I do. So I'm really excited that I got to know you and got to talk with you.
It was a pleasure. It was wonderful.
I don't want to say goodbye, but I have to, because my cat knows that on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock, he gets me all to himself.
Oh, so. Yes. And cats will get their way. So,
well, this one is, people say, oh, your cat's so spoiled. I said, nope, my cat, like my husband, is just very much loved. There's a difference between something that is spoiled and something that has been loved and loves you back.
Mhm. Yep. True.
So,
very true.
I've enjoyed your company, and I appreciate you for being here on this earth. And I want to make sure that our listeners know, if they want to know more about you or how to buy your book, Feel Better in 5 Minutes. That's pretty cool. 5 little short minutes. An empowering guide to gain control over your emotions. Just go to AmandaHainline.com. And that's Amanda, A-M-A-N-D-A, Hainline, HAINLINE.com. Goodbye, Amanda.
Goodbye. So nice speaking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.